Let me just spend one slides about the YAM, just because there is a lot of INFN work in it, which is this component that releases the token. So, I mean, it's allow the user to interact with the data lake without the old mechanisms, let's say, old of the X09 certificates. In fact, I mean, the token, let's say,
I think we lost again, Dino.
Yeah. But Dino, we cannot hear you again.
I think it basically crashed, but Zoom didn't realize yet. So I don't think he has.
Hi, can you hear me? Okay.
Hi. Sorry again. I'm from the Fabio account. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
So I mean that was the last slide. I mean, so I mean I think most of the things that I want to say was already said. So I mean the last slide was happy. I mean, the next slide was just a happy. Have a nice song. But if you want, if you have a, I mean, a question or comment, maybe I can use the Fab account.
Okay. So first of all, thanks, Dino, for the overview.
Sorry for the inconvenience.
No problem. Thanks for the technical overview. I think it gives ideas of the underlying things that we have in the infrastructure. Of course, I want to highlight two things, and then I leave the floor if there are questions or comments. First of all the activity that you mentioned on the if you want on the INFN side is all the activities that I told you before in my introduction, where I said we need to be highly synergic with solutions that are coming from the infrastructure perspective on Spoke Zero and so on. So this was the proof that I was not lying, and thanks again, Dino, for stressing it.
Yes, sorry for the convenience. I don't know what happened to my computer.
On the other side, I think, as I said, most of us, sorry, can you mute Fabio, please?
Sorry, it's Dino.
Dino, yeah, sorry. In the on the other side, I think most of us will not deal with almost all the technicalities, but this is something that we delegate to the higher level services. And I guess after the demo that will be shown by Antonino, this will be rather clear, or at least we will have a more feeling of what I just said. So questions or comment for Dino? Okay, I don't see any raised hand, so I assume there are no specific questions. Thanks again, Dino, and I take the opportunity that I have the mic on to say that with Elvira we are recording the session, and in particular we meant to record the demo part that is kind of useful for other that maybe wants to re check the demo afterwards or people that could not join. So thanks, Elvira, for managing in fixing also this. And if nobody say anything, I think, Antonino, the floor is yours. Can you hear us? Okay, so
can you hear me?
Yes, first of all, Antonino maybe is a younger guy, not well known by everybody. Let me introduce him, saying that he's working with INFN in a strategic project with ICSE, which is Terabit, and he's specifically working on this matter. So, not surprisingly, he's gonna giving us the demo because he's becoming one of the experts on those stuff. So, he's from INFN Padova, if I'm not wrong. And what to say, Antonino? I think you can go ahead, and thanks for helping us.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate the possibility to give this hands-on here and to show you in detail what a user can do on the data lake and on this infrastructure of data management. So let me share the screen first of all. Okay, you should see my screen. And I hope that
wait a second, it's still black for us, but it's probably coming.
Big enough if I
to me it's still all black. I don't know for the others.
All black.
It's all black.
For me too.
Try to unshare and share again. Sometimes Zoom is not really.
Okay, let's try again. Okay, can you see?
No.
Oh, this is unfortunate.
Maybe you can try to share only a window instead of the full screen.
Let's try. Okay, now I only shared the terminal.
Question, do you have a new computer? Because sometimes if you use a Mac, the first time you use a screen share, you have to give additional rights.
But it's not my, actually, it's not my first time.
Oh, okay, then I don't know.
Yes, on Zoom.
Try to zoom a browser, so that then we run out of ideas, I guess.
Let me, yes, I can try to. Share, let's try this. Can you see the browser?
Actually, no, at least on my side, I don't see.
Last option is exit Zoom and re-enter.
Okay, I will try. I will come back, sorry.
It's nice, we are hitting them all the possible issues that we can have during a Zoom meeting.
We are having a record on this.
Yeah.
Inconvenience.
Okay, so here I am again. We'll try to share my screen again.
No.
Can you see it?
Yeah, definitely. So at least in the side.
We see Confluence right now.
Yeah, yes. If you can see Confluence, now you should see my terminal.
Now when?
Now.
No. We see the mouse.
And not the terminal?
No.
Still see Confluence.
I'm sorry. This is actually really the first time that this happened to me. So you cannot see my terminal?
The moment is black. Indeed, this is the first time I see a Zoom behaving like this. No, we see your face. Oh, your face, your icon.
Because Zoom is saying that I am sharing my screen. And that in the preview of Zoom, I can see my screen. And there is, there is the terminal.
Is it green or yellow? What?
It's my terminal is black with a list of
frame of Zoom.
Ah, it's green. It's green.
But indeed, we are saying I get you are viewing Antonino Troia's screen, but no.
Yes.
So it's but it doesn't work.
Can you see my desktop now? Kind of.
Still all black.
For a while, but now it's still black.
Now, can you see something?
No.
I'm sorry. Can you see Confluence now?
No.
I really don't know what to say.
How did you share Confluence? Just before?
Yes, I'm. I can do again. Share screen. Entire screen. So I'm sharing my entire screen.
Try again exiting and re-entering, because when you did it for a while, we saw your screen.
Okay.
Yes. Now
wait.
Yes.
It was coming.
It was working. Yeah. For 1 second.
For 1 second. Let's try.
Don't
okay,
you have
you...
the windows that you are sharing in another desktop of your computer or something like that?
No.
You can use the Zoom on the web browser instead of the Zoom client. I don't know.
So now Confluence is shared.
Confluence, you can see Confluence.
And did you share the browser or the screen?
No, I'm sharing the screen.
So now if you so
but you should see on the top, you should see my bar, the bar with everything.
I think so. No, I only see the
Friday, July. Yes, we see. Try to move the terminal in this window.
Exactly.
Without changing anything else.
Okay. Okay, can you see the terminal?
No. No, try to move the mouse.
Moving the mouse.
No, it's all stuck. We don't see the mouse pointer moving.
It's moving, but slowly, I guess. So it's now moving the mouse.
Okay. If it is slow, maybe let's wait for 20 seconds. Maybe just... No, now the mouse seems quite fast. I don't know what to say.
But you can see the mouse and not the terminal.
Can you just a test? Can you make this window smaller so that it doesn't use the whole screen?
Yes.
Just to see if we are really seeing the window or the desktop.
I'm trying one thing. Okay. Can you see something now that the windows is smaller? Even Confluence,
no.
You cannot see anything.
No.
It might be just that there is a long delay between 30 seconds delay between what you do and what we see. Because now I see that you are open, it shows that you are opening a terminal. And now we see a terminal.
We see a terminal. Don't do anything.
No, but it's from 30 seconds ago, I think, this terminal.
So it's just slow.
Try writing something on the terminal.
Sorry?
Try writing something on the terminal. No, we don't see it.
No, you're going to see. Okay. Okay. I don't know how to solve this.
And
Like,
on which internet connection are you? Are you at home in the institute?
I am at home actually with the usual internet connection that I use during meetings. So I really it's the first time that this thing happened to me. I'm trying to change connection.
So now we just saw Yabai written on the terminal. I don't know how long ago you did it.
Do you think is it worth trying to stop the recording just to see if Zoom is this is something less usual, maybe?
Okay, each object, so files, because I okay, there is the voice recording that keeps talking. So each object is actually identified with a DID that is the data identifier. Each DID is composed by two sections. The first section is the scope, and the second section is the name, the proper name of the file. So I wrote in the terminal how a DID is composed. While the name identify the name of the object. The scope acts like a namespace and can be used to create rules of authorization rules. So we can define how what a user can or cannot do by defining rules, authorization rules on scopes. In the data lake that I'm going to show you, the rules are pretty simple. Any user can read the file from any other user in any scopes, but can write files only on one scope that is owned by the user. Okay, if there are not question, the second thing that characterize Rujo are the abstraction of the storages. These are called the Rujo storage elements, and RSC. Each RSC represents one physical storage, and thanks to Rujo, the implementation of the storage is transparent to the user. So we just need to know the name of the RSC to be able to interact with them. Okay, so since Rujo works, of course, on two layer, there is the server layer that is transparent to the user at the client level. To access the client, so the user must access the client to interact with the Rujo, and to access the client, we created an image, a Docker image that contains the Rujo client application with every option and configuration required. So to the user, the only thing that the user needs to know is the name of the container. So in order to start the client, we just run user Docker run command. Then, since it should be interactive minus IT, then we can add as an environment variable the account name of our Rujo account. So minus C Rujo all capital Rujo underscore account equal to the Rujo account, the username of the user. So in my case is Atroia. Then I can bind a folder into the client by the minus V option. So for example, I will bind the data folder the home data folder directory into the slash data directory inside the container. And then I can call the name of the container that is in the INFN registry. So Arbor. Arbor dot cloud dot INFN dot IT testbed dash DM Rucio. Rucio, Rucio dash client. Okay, C. And then the command to use, and the command to use will be bin bash. With this command, I'm entering inside this this image, create a container with the Rucio client already installed, configured with my account. So can you see what I did till now? It's the connection. The screen sharing was working.
Yes.
Perfect. Okay, how do we authenticate to Rucio? It's extremely easy. We just use this command. So every command is in Rucio is called by the keyword Rucio. To authenticate, we just run Rucio UMI. When you call Rucio UMI, it will ask you to go to a certain link that is connected that will redirect to the identity provider. So I will click on the link. It will open the identity provider login page. So in my case, I will click on INFN. On INFN. There should be, okay, it seems that today I'm extremely, so I will use just username and password. Once the authentication on the IAM is done, it will give alphanumerical string that we can copy and paste inside the terminal. With this string, Rucio will collect the token from IAM and will authenticate myself. So as you can see, after the authentication, Rucio will show the parameters of my user. So the name of my account, Atroia, the status, my email, etc., etc. So at this point, I am authenticated. The token is stored into the TMP token into this file slash TMP slash token, and it is actually it has a lifetime. So when the token expires, Rucio will ask you again to connect to the browser and perform authentication. So first of all, one thing we can do is to I'm trying to increase the terminal now. What we can do is to check the infrastructure. So we know that we federate the data lake. In the data lake, we federated the storage. The storages are registered in Rucio via RSS. So to see which storages are connected to Rucio, we can just run the command Rucio list dash RSS. If I do this command, I will get a list of all the RSS registered. So as you can see, in this case, we have seven storage federated. For each storage, I can get the configuration. So at this moment, this is the only thing you need. If you want to go deeper, you can get the configuration for each storage by running Rucio list RSE attributes, and then put the name of one RSE. In this case, let's say Cloud Veneto user disk, and so I get the attributes of Cloud Veneto user disk, quality of service, backend, the FTS address, etc., etc. This will be useful when we want to select RSEs using their configuration instead of their name, but this is something that we will see in a moment. So the first thing we saw was the storage registered in the data lake. Next thing to see, we can check are the scopes registered in Rucho. As I told you, the scope is one of the part of the data identifier and acts like a namespace. So the command again is extremely easy. It's just Rucho list dash scopes. And then I can see all the scopes that are registered in Rucho. In this case, in this particular instance of Rucho, we have one scope per each user. Each scope is called user.username, and each user is authorized to read data from any scopes, but to write data only on its own scope. So I can see the data in any scopes, but I can write only on user.adroia. Okay, and this more or less show you how to see how the infrastructure is what is the infrastructure below Rucho. If you want to see we can go a little bit deeper by looking at how much my account, how much your account is using, how much resources your account is using by writing Rucho list account usage. So I'm asking Rucho the usage of my account on the data lake, and then putting my username. And you can see that I have a list of each RSE, the usage of my account. So on each RSE, I use this space, the limit of my account. So how much space I can use on each RSEs, and how much space do I have left? Since I only put bytes of data, my quota is almost full to be filled. Okay, let's go to the most important part. It is the management of data. First of all, we have to put data into the data lake. We do this by simply uploading a file inside the data lake. How do we upload a file? You understood the command will be Rucho up with a simple string as upload. So I create actually a file inside my data that should be called and so on. Okay, so I will upload this file inside the data lake. So the command is Rucho upload. Then the name of the file that I want to upload, so this data and so on, file to upload, this is of course a name that I choose, the RSC on which I want to upload the data. So for example, let's say I want to upload to Napoli user disk. Then the scope on which I want to upload the data. As I told you, I can upload only on my personal scope, that is user.adroia, and then the name of the file in the data lake. I can call it and so on 01. Once I press enter, it will sorry, because I forgot to put the flag minus my dash dash name. So at the end, the command is easy, it's just Rucho upload, the name of the file I want to upload, the name of RSE, the name of the scope, and the name of the file. Once I press enter, Rucho start to upload the file. And then I can see the status of my upload. Since the last line is a successfully uploaded file, I can see the status of my file by listing the rules of the file. The command is as easy as Rucho list dash rules. The data identifier on my file, as I told you, the data identifier is scope column name. So the scope is user adroia. Then the name that I provided during the upload. When I run this command, I can see that this DID has one rule. The first column says to me the ID of the rule, the account who uploaded the file or who created the rule, this me, Adroia, the DID name, then the status. Okay means that the file is properly uploaded into the data lake. There are three numbers that says to us the number of files or replication that were created for this rule in this case. And there is one file that was replicated. Since it's the first slot, it means that the replication was okay. The signification of the three slots is can be found up in the header of this table. What we need is that if this number is in the first slot, it means that everything is okay. If it is in the second slot, it means that it's replicating, and so we have to wait to be the file goes into the data lake. If it is in the third slot, it means that the file is actually stuck and there is a problem. Then we have the RSC expression. On which the file is uploaded, how many replicas of the file there are there, the size, a blank space that tell us the expiration date of the files, and this is blank because we didn't set any expiration date, and then the creation date. If we want to know where is the file, we just run a command is Rucho list file replicas and then the ID of the file that we want to know. So list file replicas will tell us the file the physical position of each file that belongs to the DID. The results, as you can see, is a table with one entry for each replication of the files in the data. In this case, the file is replicated only once, only in the Napoli user disk RSC, and the position in the Napoli user disk RSC is written here. As you can see, DAVs, if I want to go on the, cioè the physical position, the physical file name of the file is this one, is listed as the last entry of the table. So DAVs, T2, ed cache, etc., home, pox, xc, user, adroia, etc. So when we upload the file, the first thing is that the Rucho does is creating a DID for this file and for this object in general. If you want to see the attributes of this object that can be useful, we can just run Rucho stat and the DID that we want to get the attributes. So in this case, user.adroia and so on. The attributes of these files are listed. As you can see, I have the type of the DAD. So the last item tell me what this DAD is referred to. So it referred to a file, the scope, the name, etc. It's the checksum and other attributes. If I want to see the metadata, these are the attributes of the file. If I want to see the metadata of the files, the command is just ruchget metadata, and again at the end I add the ID of the file. This way I get a complete list of all the metadata of the file that allows us to create query on files in the data lake. Okay, everything is going well and smooth. If there is any question, please don't hesitate. Okay, then I will go to the next logical section, let's say, because I show you metadata. So prior to see how to replicate the data, I want to show you how to deal with metadata of a DID. So this metadata that we saw, hello?
You muted.
They told me that the host muted me. So if I'm getting
sorry,
annoyed,
sorry.
You can tell me if I'm annoying you. So this metadata that we get are actually the standard metadata. For each file, we can add as any metadata as we want. This is simple performed by running Rucho set metadata. Then we say on which DID we want to set the metadata. In our case is the usual user.atroia and so on, -01, and then we add the metadata as a pair of key value. So minus key, the key of our metadata, we can say for example Pippo, and then the value of the metadata, let's say dog, since Pippo is a dog. This will set the metadata. If I want to get the metadata that I added in this way, I will just run Rucho get metadata. Since we add in a pair of key value, this is Rucho will add the data using a JSON plugin. So I have to add the plugin to this plugin to the query. So we'll add the flag plugin equal JSON, and then the DAD of my object. As you can see, I will get the metadata that I just put, and only this one. I can at this point I can search on my data lake files using filtering by metadata values. To do this, I can do a Rucho list deeds. So Rucho list deeds will give me the list of each of the deeds registered, and then with a filter on the metadata. In this case, the metadata we say it's Pippo dog, so I will put key equal to value, so Pippo equal to dog, and then where to find on which set of deeds to search. I will put my personal scope, so user atroia, and then an asterisk just to say to look inside all the files that belongs to this scope. At the end, it will show me only the file with this metadata, with the metadata Pippo equal to dog. That is the file that we just uploaded, on which we just add this metadata. This is extremely useful in query research for data in the data lake so we can to implement exactly this query research. Metadata can be, we can add more metadata, we can filter for combination of metadata. So it's extremely, from this point of view, is extremely, Ruchi is extremely flexible. We can also delete metadata, of course. And I don't know if this will come as a surprise, to delete metadata, the command is just Ruchi delete metadata. I won't to go any farther on this. Then what did we see till now? We saw how to check the infrastructure of the data lake, so listing RSAs and the scopes. We saw how to upload a file on RSA, and we saw how to deal with the metadata of the DID that is created and associated to this file. As I told you, files are the simplest unit, logic unit in Ruchi, but we can deal with objects that are a bit more complex, like for example datasets. Datasets are collection of files. To create this will allow us to move collection of files with only one command by working on the data set, on the data sets instead of working on each file taken alone. How do we create a data set? It's just Ruchi add data set. The name of the data set, of course, is a DID, so it follows the same rules. So it is scope, the scope, so user dot datroia, and then the dataset, we can call it dataset one, because my fantasy run dry. So as you can see, was added this dataset. To add a file to the dataset, we have to attach it. So once the file is registered, the deed of the file is registered in Ruchi, we can attach the file to the dataset. So Ruchi attach on the dataset we just defined, so user atroia dataset one, the file or the files that we want to attach. So in this case, we will attach only one file, this user atroia Anson one. So the syntax is extremely simple. And then the results, the output is that the data was successfully attached. If I want to see the content of a dataset, I will just run Ruchi list content and then the name of the dataset. So user.atroia, so the DID of the dataset. So user.atroia, dataset one. As you can see, the results is a table with the file stored inside the dataset. So I really want to show highlights the simplicity of Ruchi. Ruchi use commands that are extremely straightforward to understand. Once you get, you will be able to use Ruchi without any major effort. And here again, to create a dataset, we just add the dataset and we just attach the file to the datasets. For the container, is the same. Container is the third object of Ruchi, is a collection of datasets. So to create a container, we just run the same command, just Ruchi add container, and then Ruchi attach datasets inside the container. Datasets and container, they have an attribute that they do not share with files. This attribute is the open. Is the attribute called open. If a dataset or a container is open, it means that we can add files to the dataset or dataset to the container. When we close the container, we are saying to Ruchi that to this container, to this data set, we cannot add anything else. And once we close the data set or the container, we cannot open it again. This is extremely useful in order to create authorization rules inside the data lake, and avoid conflicts between file and deeds. To see if a data set or a container is open or closed, we just get the attributes. We use the same command that we saw for the file. This command is ruco stat, and then the name of the data set. So user atroia dataset one. As you can see, and the command to close the dataset is just, and then I can replicate the dataset in the data lake. So an object that is open cannot be replicated. Only closed object can be replicated inside the data lake. Okay, so now we saw the three objects. We saw how to upload a file. We saw the metadata. Let's talk about replication. That is the main things of the replica manager, of course. To see the replication of a file of a DID, we just run the command luco list rules, followed by the DID of which we want to know the rules. In this case, the file we uploaded was user atroia anson 01. And I can see that there is only one rule associated to this DID. This means that there is only one replica in the dataset. This is a little digression. This is not the only way to see rules in the datasets. We can also see rules in the dataset associated to a specific account. So if I don't, for any reason, if I don't remember the DID or something else, if I just want to see the rules that I uploaded. To do this, I just run ruco list rules. So the command is the same, but instead of putting the DID at the end, I will just add the flag account and then the name of my account, atroia. So as you can see, now the table is extremely more populated with all the files and the DID that I uploaded to the data lake. Each of it, again, as you can see, with a unique ID, the DID, so the data identifier, and the RSC of which it is replicated. So let's come back to the DID that we just uploaded, to the file we uploaded. How do we create a replica for this file and where? Let's see, at this moment I don't remember the name of the RSCs in the data lake, so I will just do ruco list RSCs, the command we saw before. And so let's say that we want to replicate this file from that is only stored in Apple user disk. We want to replicate it in Cloud Veneto user disk. So the command is just ruco add rule. So I'm adding a rule of replication, a rule to replicate the file. And I want to add a rule to sorry to my DID. So I want to add a rule to this DID, and then I have to specify how many replication I want to create and where. Let's say I want one replication on Cloud Veneto. There is a slash. So the syntax is just ruchad rule, the name, the DID of the object I want to replicate, the number of replication I want to create, and where I want to create this replication. Once I run this command, the output is just the identity number, the unique identity number of the new rule. So if I launch again the command ruchio list rules and with the DID, we saw earlier that we have only one line because there was only one replication. Now we will see two lines, one for Napoli user disk and one for Cloud Veneto user disk. Each rule has a unique identifier. And as you can see, the state in this moment is replicating, sorry. This means that actually the file is, the TCP is, the TPC is taking, is running in this moment as we talk. Usually this should take a bit, but not so long. So if I run the command again, no, okay, still replicating, so we just have to wait for the transfer to be performed. Let's see again. No, okay, still replicating. Okay, if I, once the file is replicated, I can see its physical location by running the same command that we saw before. So ruchio list file replicas. And the name and the DID of the object. So as you can see, now I have two lines, one for Napoli user disk with the physical location of the file, one from Cloud Veneto user disk with the physical location of the file on Cloud Veneto. So this is the simplest way to add a rule to an existing file in the data lake. So first we upload the file into the data lake, then we create replication of this file by adding rule to the DID. This rule, let me take again, as you can see, I just add rule on one RSC without saying anything. I can actually specify for how long I want this rule to be stored on an RSA. So let's say that I want to this rule to be stored for 2 hours. Let me again get the list of the RSAs. So let's say that I want this rule to be in Bari user disk for 2 hours. So I will just run the same command as before, add rule. The DID of the object, so user.adroia and so on dash 01, the number of replicas, one, where to put the replicas on bar user disk, and now I can add the flag dash dash lifetime followed by the life duration of my replica in seconds. So for 2 hours will be 7200. So the rule was added. If I do ruchio list rules to see the replication rules of the DID, then I put the DID, I will see now three entries, one from Cloud Veneto, one from Napoli. I want you to see that the one for Cloud Veneto now is in the okay state. So it means that replication was performed without any problem. And then I have one for bar user disk that is actually replicating, with the expiration expiration table the value set to 2 hours from now, 2 hours from now in UTC time. So actually 11:33 in UTC time is 13:33 in CEST time. So this replication, this rule will be present in will be stored in var user disk only up to the expiration time, so only up 2 hours. This is extremely, again, is one other thing that is extremely useful for the replica manager, because not only we can define where, but we can also define for how long a replication has to live. Another interesting feature of the replication manager is that we can add several rules on composition of subset on subset of the RSC. So what I show you, for example, with this command, ruchu add rule, the DAD, one replica rule into one RSC. One replica, one RSC, vary user disk. I can actually create more replica on subset of the of RSC. For example, let me again get the list of the RSCs. Let's say that I want two replication among three in a subset of three RSCs. So we'll just again run the same command, add rule, the DID name, so cioè the DID is user dot droia and so on 01. So I want to create two rules, and I want to put these two rules anywhere inside the three, for example, three RSCs. How do I say that I want three RSCs? I just quote, open a quote, then I put the name of the three RSCs, for example, three that we didn't use, so knuff user disk, and then I put a pipe among between them. So knuff user disk pipe, LNL user disk pipe, and then cinega user disk, and I close the quote. I enter the command, the rule is created, and now what Ruchu will do is create two replication inside two of the three RSC. For me, the user, I don't need to know which of the three RSCs are the one that will contain the replica rules. This is up to Ruchu. So again, I list the rules for this DID. I see that there is a new rule. And you see that the new rule is composed by two replication on the tree, on the subset of the tree of the three RSCs. Once the replication is performed, we can see the physical file names of this new replication, again, by using the same command we saw before. So ruchu list file replicas, and then the name of the DID is user atroia and so on minus 01. So at this moment, we only have three entries, one for Napoli, one for Claude Veneto, one for Bari user disk, because the last replication rule is still in replicating. Sorry. List rules. So again, if I saw list rules, I see that is in replicating. Once the state from replicating goes to OK, so once the replication is performed, I will be able to get the physical file name, the physical location of the file, and then I can know on which of these three RSCs the file was replicated. So the pipe is an operator between RSCs that works like the union of sets. So the logic is the same of the of sets. There are other two operators for RSCs. There is the intersection operator that is using the ampersand, and then there is the complementary operator with the slash. I can use this operator. I use the pipe only on the name of the RSCs. And the name of the RSCs, one name is referred to only one RSC. I can also create sets of RSCs by using their attributes. So if I get, for example, I want to create a set of all the RSCs that are disk and not tape, for example. Then I can just to check if I create properly the sets, I can list the RSCs that follows the rule that I want to specify. This rule I will apply by using the flag minus minus RSCs to list RSCs. And then for example, as I told you, I want only the RSCs that are disk. The filter that I have to put is this one, and now we'll show you why. Anyway, if I run, you can see that I have only the disk storages. How do I get the filter? By just getting the attributes of the RSCs. So if I do crucial list RSC attributes, and then for example Cinega user disk, you can see all these attributes. The reason I put QS equal to disk was because I have an attributes for each RSC that is QS equal to disk, but I have also different attributes that I can use to filter the RSC. For example, one can be the backend. So if I want to list only the RSC that has minio backend, I can put crucial list minus RSCs dash dash RSCs backend equal to minio. And you can see the list retards me, this command retards me only one RSC, there is the only one with this backend. If I put backend equal to storm, I will get three RSCs. There are the three RSCs with the backend storm. Now let's see the operation to create subsets. For example, let's see that we want RSC, a subset of RSCs that are with both with backend storm and I don't know, quality of system disk. So they have to be, I want both storm and disk with the end logical operation. So I call the usual command crucial list RSCs minus minus RSCs. Then I have to quote, because I'm using more than one attribute filter, the operator for the set union that is the pipe, and then QoS equal to disk. So what I'm saying is I want a subset of RSCs that are either with backend storm or with quality of system equal to disk. And then the list is of all the RSCs that have one of the two. I could have done, for example, a subset with two different backends. So, for example, backend equal to min.io. In this way, I only have four RSEs, the three one with the backend storm and one with the backend min.io. Then there is the intersection. The intersection backend is the one that works with the as the intersection subset. So this I will get RSEs that have an intersection of the two filters. The intersection is the ampersand, as I told you. And for example, I want RSEs that they have at the same time, backend storm, for example, quality of system equal to disk. So as you can see, I get only two RSEs. There are the two that match this filter. Then the last one operator is the complementary operator. And actually, this is not a good example. But the complementary operator allows me to take all the complementary RSEs to a certain rule. Let's see, for example, sorry. Another complementary, ah no, sorry, can be that I just used the wrong slash. Ah, okay. Okay, so what's a problem with the slashes? So with the intersection, I will get the one with the RSEs with storm and there are at the same time storm and disk. With the complementary, I get I'm still using the wrong slash. I'm sorry. I get the complementary to this subset, so the one that has storm but not disk. In this case, there is only one RSE that is the KNUF user type. So this is useful. Understanding this is useful to create new rules on RSEs that match just certain attributes. For example, I want to create a rule only on storm backends, or only on storm backends that are also disk. So in this way, I can do ruzio add rule. My did is the usual user dot adroia and so on dash 01 one replica for example again in a subset of the storage there are both store with a backend storm and the disk quality of service. Once I enter the command, I run the command, I create a new rule, and then I can go to see ruzio list rules with the DID. And you see that the rule in the RSE expression, what it appears is the filter that I put. Again, this is extremely useful because you don't need to know you don't need just the name of the RSEs. You can say, I want the replication only on RSEs that match a certain attributes or filters. The rules that we added before now is in the OK state. So if we list the file replicas, we can get the physical file names of the new replication of the new two replication across this set of three RSEs. So ruzio list file replicas, the DID, and then you can see that I have new entries, one for Cinega user disk, one for LNL user disk. This means that on the three RSEs that I gave him as an input, he chose the LNL and Cinega, and so there's still no replication on KNUF user disk. So it is clear we are actually going towards the end of this hands-on, so it is clear till now, or there is any question, please? Don't be afraid.
I think you said many details, many information. So I assume that people that didn't know Russo and all these things before has a lot of information to digest. I think you can conclude. There are a few comments that I would make at the end. So if there are no questions, I think you can finish your part.
Yes, there are only two things more to see. There are the download from the data lake and the deletion of a replica on the data lake. The download is as simply as Russo download and the DID. So user.troia hands-on01. So as you can see, it's a super simple command. At the end, we will have this table that summarizes the download. Now, if I do an ls on my machine, I will see that a folder, a directory was created with the same name of the scope. And inside this directory, there is the file that I downloaded from the data lake. So simple commands, Russo upload to put inside, Russo add rules to create replication rules, Russo download to get the data, the file or the data from the data lake. What if I want to delete a replication rule, a replica rule in the dataset? If the creation of a replica rule was add rule, the deletion is just delete rule. So I will, first of all, I will list the rules of my DID. So let's say I want to delete the rule on bar user disk. I have two ways to delete a rule. First is by launching the command delete rule and then adding the unique ID or identification of the rule. So the first entry that uniquely identifies this rule on bar user disk. When I launch this command, no output is returned, but if I launch again list rules of this DID, I will see that on the bar user disk, on the rule that I deleted, an expiration date appeared. This expiration date usually is set 1 hour from the moment in which you deleted the rule. So this rule will be deleted at 10:51, again UTC. So 1 hour from now. Another way to delete a rule is by using the DID and the RSC. So I can, instead of using the unique identification number, I can just Russo delete rule, the name of the rule, and then the RSC on which it is located, the rule we want to delete. For example, Cloud Veneto user disk. As you can see, no output is returned, but if I list the rules on Cloud Veneto user disk line, expiration date appeared 1 hour from now, 1 hour UTC from now. And so that's it. I wanted to show you the simplicity of using Russo. I wanted to show you how we can deal with metadata. I wanted to show you how we can deal with RSC. I know that is a lot of information to digest, but I can promise you this is something that once you put your hands on it, you will get how easy it is to work on data. And I strongly suggest you to start. And thank you.
So thanks a lot, Antonino. It was a quite comprehensive demo all live. So congrats, because part of the issue that we had at the beginning, I think you succeed on everything. So while people maybe start preparing question or comments or anything that may want to raise. I want to stress very few things. One is you actually used for this demo the proof of concept as bed that we built in order to start the actual federation between the pillars of the architectural infrastructure of the ICSC National Center, which is INFN and CINECA. So those were not just names, but there is an infrastructure under the hood. So where you saw the names, there is a real correspondence with the hardware infrastructure. Then I think at the beginning you shown a very key point that will became a very powerful things when people start using it, which is the fact that Rusho is fully integrated with the let me call it the single sign-on, quote unquote. Technically wise is slightly different, but because it's a JSON W token based federation, but is the feeling of the single sign-on things that we will have in the infrastructure. So Rusho to imagine what a user would like to know today is the documentation part. So Antonino and other colleagues built a very powerful documentation in my perspective. It's all to be improved. I wouldn't be surprised if all is already there, but Antonino, correct me, but I would say that all what you did can be easily replicated thanks to the documentation that is becoming public very shortly. So we are working to make it public for everybody, even outside of INFN, just to be concrete. It built on the official documentation of Rusho. We are not reinventing the wheel, but we are adding extra things that we feel are necessary to make user life easy. So in my impression is that today you should catch key things that you feel interesting and maybe useful for your activities. If you catch something, we should follow up for sure, not only now with your question that may arrive in once I shut up. if there are useful things or if people want just to give it a try out of curiosity or to try to dig a little bit more into this stuff, we must be in contact. And through Elvira and myself, we can create the needed channels in order to start testing the infrastructure. So I don't know, Antonino, if you agree on the documentational part that I said and the things that we are able to support test and then even further, but this is not necessarily to you, but testing things may be done on our existing test bed. So if you agree you have not to object, I leave the floor to the others. I see some raised hands, but if you have some comment, I leave you first to correct if I said something not okay for you.
No, I agree with all you said, documentation and testbed, yes. And
okay, so I don't know where we start. I see Tommaso say something on the chat. he cannot speak directly. So let's first start with Francesco that has raised hand. I think he's
yes. Can you hear me?
One. Yeah,
yes.
Sure.
Yeah, okay. Thanks for the useful hands-on. My question is rather general. I mean, all of this command and procedure you highlighted for the data management have been executed here as a root user. So for
no, it's not true. I was the Adroya user. It was my user. It was not a root user.
It was not a root. But why do we see here on the terminal the?
Yes. Ah, this root. No,
yes.
It's just the name of the container, how the container was created. If you want to know which user you are, you just run Rucho, who am I?
No, because I mean, for a front-end user, I mean, probably some of these commands are not directly accessible, probably as user, because I mean, I remember for Atlas, some of the replicas command, they cannot be used by front-end user, requiring extra authorization, I think.
Yes.
So the question is, in the general infrastructure, do all users have the possibility to do everything, or some kind of let's say threshold will be introduced?
Okay, so there are two layers to this question. The first one is what I wanted to point out before. I was not a root user, never in the hands on what you saw. The root here is just because of the container, how the container was written, but it is not required to be a root user to use Rucho. Every comma that they used the Rucho keyword, and this is the keyword that can use by any user. Then there is another keyword that is used by user with privileged, but this was something I didn't show you today. And so this is the first layer, let's say. So if you want to see which user you are, you just run Rucho who am I. As you can see, I was user Adroya, so I was not a root user.
Can I comment on that, Antonino?
Yes.
So I think the question is a good one. I mean, initially when you started the demo, I had the same feeling. So I mean, I said this might be confusing for a user, and indeed, I think we distracted a bit Francesco. So Francesco, the point is that you need a client to interact with Rucho. Whatever the client is, a web interface or a command line one, doesn't matter. It's a client that you need to run on your side. In that demo, Antonino did is to use the way that we think is the most effective and cloud native one to distribute the client. This means using a container based approach. So if you have your laptop and you need to interact with the Rucho, you need to get the client somewhere, and we distribute the client with a container. So the only things that you need is not to be root, but just to be able to start a container. If you can start a container, then within the container, you can be root, user, whatever you like. It's up to you. But the whole point is that the client software that we think we will distribute is meant as a container that you can get from any hub that contains the real container. In our case, it was Arbor. If I'm not wrong, but can be even distributed through CPMFS or whatever. So I don't know if this make more sense to you, Francesco. So don't be confused. You don't need to be root to interact with Rucho. You see root here because Antonino is running within a container. That is how we are distributing the client software, Rucho client software. And for the second point that you said, I think Antonino was
yes, there is the second layer, let's say, of the question that is inside the Rucho. Inside the Rucho, you can customize policies to authorize user to do something or not. So this is Rucho is extremely customizable. For example, and then you can create scopes, policies. As much as you like. In this implementation, the only policy is that I can write only on my scope. My scope is user.username. So in this case, it's user.adroya. If I try to upload a file to a scope that is not assigned to me. So for example, Sgaravat, so I do Rucho upload, o anche or, sì, Rucho upload data and so on. RSE, for example, Cloud Vendor User Disk, scope, name, bla bla, scope, for example, user dot sgaravat. That is another scope that is on this implementation and on which I'm not authorized to, but because we defined on the infrastructure that anyone is authorized only to upload on his own scope. So if I press enter, it will ask me to authenticate. If I do the authentication, it will tell me that actually I'm not allowed to do this.
So if you want, while you authenticate, I can tell you, Francesco, that all this means that if you need an orchestrator, a data management system based on Rucho, there will be an owner of Rucho, an admin of Rucho. And an admin of Rucho, in the example that you made, was Atlas, and Atlas decided the policies. So there is no golden rule that applies to Rucho, but is dependent on the admin of Rucho. If, and what I'm saying is a concrete example, because it's the way we foreseen it might be used, all of these in the national center. If you want to have your Rucho for your collaboration, for your group of researchers and so on, somebody, maybe you, will be the admin, and you will define the policies that need to be applied to the system. What Antonino is showing you in this example is exactly what has been defined by the admin, that is, I don't know, let's say Massimo Sgaravatto is not here, assume that he's the admin. And he defined that all the people that are federated through the INFN AAI can use this system because can be authenticated and actually can write only on its scope. And this is exactly what Antonino is saying and is showing. And this is a policy that has been defined up front, but is not true for Atlas, while for Atlas there are other rules. This is why the Rucho is not... cannot be seen as a central service for everybody, for all the communities, but is a community-based one. And in principle, you can have your own. So this is another message that maybe we want to pass here. So you can have your own Rucho to manage your own quota on the data lake, data quota on the storage, distributed storage on the data lake.
Okay, thanks. Thanks a lot. That's super clear.
Antonino, do you agree on all what I said?
Yeah, yes. Thank you. And yes. While you were talking, I was exactly authenticated. As you can see, it tells me a warning that the scope, for example, is not found for me. Then he asked me again to authenticate. Then I just killed the process, because otherwise it would keep asking me the authentication, since he sees that I am not authorized.
So while you spoke, Torino, I saw Massimo showing up. So first of all, sorry, Massimo, I didn't realize that you just met your name. So sorry. And then please comment.
No, just a piece of information. In this respect, the policies are the ones that were discussed before. So each user can write only on his scope. 100 gigabyte of quota for each... on each storage system, and there is just a particular policy which is that the transfer from and to tape must be approved by an administrator. This was done because to prevent the misuse of the tape system that can be a problem for other user community. But as it was stated before, policies can be customized according to the specific need of the community.
Okay, thanks. There is the Tommaso's question on the chat. He cannot speak.
Yes, but no. Now actually I can speak.
Okay. So go ahead.
I think temporary. So no. Yeah. Thanks. Sorry. No. My question was actually related to what we saw. I mean, we saw the container based client for Rusio. We saw the commands, the replicas, the resource, the storage elements, and I was wondering the level of requirements that we ask the user for running all of this. I mean, should we, and with we, I think, on top of our use cases from all the WP, invent something, a higher level interface for their own activity related to their own projects? Or we are asking really users to know how to access the which resource. Because we saw really specific command required users also to follow actually they are the CNAF. I mean, now I speak federated storage that you shown in the tutorial, but I saw for instance user CNAF tape, Veneto, Cloud Veneto. I mean, this is quite specific information that a user maybe is asking us, like, what should we do? Because I'm not sure of what to do. So there is a documentation, of course, but these things should be maybe fixed at some low level and then create some higher level thing that does all of this for them, because the number of replicas, where to put the replicas and so on. I think this is really above the pay grade of the user. I'm not know if I am getting wrong, incredibly wrong, or if it's a stupid question or something, but it was something that triggered me along this tutorial.
Okay, so one thing I wanted to stress out is that within the client, you can check anytime the infrastructure. So if you don't remember which storage are registered, you can just list RSCs and then you see the storages. So you don't need to know in advance, for example. The same goes for the scopes. Everything or the deeds, so everything that is inside the data lake you can be accessed, so you don't need any prior information. You forget, even though you have information that you forget, you can anytime check what's inside the data lake.
Yeah. No, Antonino, the things was crystal clear, the operation and everything. My question maybe was a bit more logistic. I mean, everything is perfectly understandable. What I'm saying is maybe the user does not need to know all of this.
Depends
kind
on
of
what
storage element.
Yes. It depends on what the user is supposed to do on your infrastructure. For sure, Rusio client is one way to access Rusio server. It's not the only one. There are, for example, also Python APIs. With Python APIs, you can create scripts that allows you to create replicas, manage replicas among storages. So one user can just run a script that was written by a developer, for example.
Yeah, I was exactly thinking. Yeah. That so assuming that of course we have higher level APIs for accessing all of this, I am wondering if gathering a group of users which will most probably do all the same things,
yes,
community, and basically we do all the same things, if we should start thinking so about some kind of wrapper that does the same things for the same user.
Let me comment on that. So I don't think it's the good way to interpret all of these. Tommaso, thinking to write a wrapper or a generic wrapper or Rusio for everybody. So based on my little experience, we need to first try to understand what is needed, because for each use cases there are already several stuff made by other communities and other initiatives, and let me just mention one. So if we target Jupyter as an interface for doing something like analyzing data. There already exist extensions, Jupyter extension that are maintained by Rusho that natively integrates Jupyter, the Jupyter system itself. So that's one example. Other than that, many collaboration that already use Rusho embeds either the Python binding on the Rusho command line commands that we shown today in their wrapper. So they are specific to their needs. And this is the point that I want to highlight maybe. So we don't have a single solution that fits all the needs. We need to understand what we need to achieve. The message today is that we have an easy way where easy maybe doesn't apply to all the type of users, maybe those that are not close to the computing things or the infrastructure or whatever might see this as an obstacle, but in principle this must be considered easy because you are interacting with a distributed infrastructure with 12 commands. So today, but more or less are those. So it's rather easy. And we need to analyze the use cases because there may be something already done. And I suspect that would be rather complex to find a generic solution for everybody. So I'm skeptic that we can build a wrapper that accommodates all the needs.
Saying about the wrapper, just as the thing you read also, and it's what and it's also a good reply that the clear tutorial, and maybe there is also, and you mentioned the Jupyter extension and these kind of things, that at that point also users can interact with. So there will be already things existing already now. So I was not saying the wrapper to create from scratch, but
so Tommaso, I can't hear you very well.
I'm sorry. I am outside. So no. And anyways, if you reply to my question, so it's fine. I mean, I was just wondering. Thanks.
However, the to conclude on my side, I think if anybody like you is interested and needs to follow up on this, I think the WP5 is where we can discuss this and maybe doing the bridge wherever we think is more appropriate and discuss anything that is needed. So the scope today, one of the scope today is to start simulating questions and curiosity and point out that we are ready to address also this part of the work plan that we had on the table since the beginning.
I want to tune in on and the all work because it's really good work. So I didn't mean to say it was not good, but it was just an extension. So thanks.
Other questions or comments? Anyway, I think when the documentation will become public, we can add the link also to the web page so you can have more information, and we can send, of course, a link by email. if you want, and if Antonino agree on that and Massimo.
Yes, the documentation is on Confluence, which is already public for INFN people. We are now moving in the data cloud, in the INFN data cloud user guide using read the doc. And so it will be public for everyone. It is something that we are starting now, but I mean, extracting a PDF from the Confluence, making this document public can be done immediately. It will not be just a temporary solution, let's say.
Okay, if you can send us just the link, although I know it's only for INFN people, but it's a starting point, maybe then we can add also, let's say, the PDF or other things for the people that are not from INFN.
Okay, I will write an email to you if it is fine.
Daniele, I don't know if you have other comments or...
No, not on my side. I don't know if there is anything on the chat.
Doesn't seem.
No, there's Ale that was saying about the documentation. Yes, for sure. Yes.
And so if there are no other questions, we can also close this workshop. And we would like to thank again Massimo and Antonino for this very useful hands-on, and of course also Dino to give us some introduction on the architecture. So we can close the meeting. So bye, and
thanks again.
Thank you for.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye bye.
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 Bye.